Preferred Talk-Ons, Bill, Josh, how are you now?
Doing good.
Pretty good, Keith.
Yeah.
Ready to roll.
We have an NFL game in 2 days.
Preseason, though.
Yes. Last weekend was our last weekend without football.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
Hall of Fame game, Thursday evening.
I can't wait to not watch that.
Well,
probably watch it.
Right now, yeah, I get super excited to watch it, and then 30 minutes in, I realize, oh, yeah, okay, it's preseason.
30 minutes
it's
in?
Preseason football. I'll check back in 6 days.
Well, actually,
another team does their preseason game too.
I did scratch that itch last night. I'm watching Last Chance U.
Oh, yeah.
Are you starting from scratch or are you?
No, because I already saw the. God, what was it from? The first guy? He's kind of an asshole.
It's East Mississippi Community College.
Yes, East Mississippi. Now they're in Independence, Kansas.
Gotcha.
So it's a good show, that one. I think.
Oh, yeah, I don't doubt it. I've just never gotten around to watching it.
Yeah. New guy, super weird.
Really?
Yeah, because he's from Compton. So one of his players actually said when I talked to him on the phone, I thought he was a black dude. And just a tall white guy from Compton who cusses a lot.
A whole lot.
A lot.
Sounds like you're kind of guy.
I won't play spoiler.
Okay.
But I won't play it. I'm watching the first season with him.
Yeah.
So last year's. Okay. He comes back this year.
Yeah.
But I won't say anything. I'll let you be the judge of what you think of him. After watching the first season, I think he's an asshole.
Why?
I don't know. He just I won't spoil it. Just watch it. Just watch it.
So you thought he was an asshole the first season, but I'm assuming since you said that, your opinion has changed since then.
A little more so. And that's because I read ahead on him before I watched this current season. So I know what happens in this. I spoiled it for myself, essentially.
Oh, okay.
So and I know, because I always like to know where the guys go and stuff like that. And sometimes I watch too early or read about it too early, and that's what happened in this case. So he's not die.
Okay.
This isn't Game of Thrones.
Texted some things he probably shouldn't have texted.
Uh-oh.
So
we'll just leave it at that. You shouldn't have texted them too?
Yes.
Is this a Hugh Freeze situation?
No.
Okay.
This is.
You sometimes just forget which phone is yours.
Okay, now you got me curious. You got to spoil it now.
Okay, spoiler alert. If you have not seen Last Chance, you scrub ahead about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
First of all, their season doesn't go as planned, and he apparently texted this kid, this Jewish kid, and told him that he was his new Hitler.
Oh, yeah. I remember hearing that.
That's so awful.
Yeah, I remember hearing
that. Oh,
no. So that hit Twitter not long ago. So, yeah, that took college football Twitter by storm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a great thing to say.
Wow.
Let's go on the record. We're an anti-Nazi podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yes. Anti-fascism.
Pro-player, anti-Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
College football.
Is that we're pro-player? Yeah, we're pro-player. That's
we're definitely pro-player.
Yeah, we are
pro-player. But we're willing to take money for...
Well, yeah, we're trying to profit off of our
business
here. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. All right, cool.
I mean, so are college football players. You're just not allowed to because it's kind of weird.
All right.
So,
welcome to Preferred Talkout.
Yeah.
The weirdest 3.5 minute intro you'll ever hear.
Yeah, that's fine. What do you got on the doctor's day there, Bill?
A couple random news and notes thing. Last week we talked a lot about conference media days. There's another nice nugget coming out of the Pac-12. They are exploring 9 a.m. Pacific time kickoffs. So that'd be noon Eastern Standard Time. I don't think this is a great idea.
Why?
Be nice for us.
Because if the Pac-12 already suffers from a bit of an identity crisis, don't put them at noon kickoff with everyone else. Noon is when there are a bunch of already okay-ish games.
Well, okay-ish.
The Pac-12 after dark is their thing.
Yeah.
That's
true. I mean, I'll say this. Going earlier, perhaps not at 9 a.m., but going earlier, I think makes sense to me because I'm also interested in that game because I'm a college football fan. I don't want to be up all fucking night.
Speak for yourself.
See, I like that.
Yeah. When it's,
you know,
when it's 9:30 p.m. and I am full of pizza and ice cream and everything else that I've consumed throughout the day, and I wake up from like a little weird hibernation, it's time for Washington State, Arizona. Sign me up.
Yeah.
Let's get going. I don't want to watch Washington State, Arizona at 3:30. It just feels weird.
Think about it from the fans, their perspective in the West Coast towns. Like,
it's hot.
If you're going to the game, you're going to have to tailgate. like all that good stuff. You're getting there at 6 a.m.
Okay.
for a 9 o'clock game.
Yeah, you've never had a shower beer?
Yeah, I've had a shower beer.
Okay.
It's not all college. Like, there's families that like to go to these. There's a lot of...
Give the kid a
this
beer.
Is a weird pull from Josh going for the family perspective.
I
wasn't expecting that.
That's how I grew up, though.
It shocked me.
Going to the 12 a.m.
12 a.m.? Whoa.
12 p.m.
Whoa. Midnight madness.
The noon kickoffs in Ann Arbor, driving the 3 hours, leaving at, you know, whatever, 6 a.m. for a noon game, starting to tailgate at 9. Be rough.
I feel like you can make it work. I mean,
making it work.
We've all been to tailgates where it's been probably not a great time, but you've made it work. I mean, I think there is a large part of the audience that you lose when it comes when you start going at those times, because then you're butting up against, you know, primetime television, and perhaps your significant other or people that you live with aren't as big of college football fans as you. So you get the TV for what, most of the day, and then you're like, okay, I can relent these last couple hours.
Saturdays it's noon to midnight plus. However late I can stay up. Saturdays are college football days in my household, Keith. You've been at my household for a college football Saturday.
I know. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was great. Josh was there for 2 hours and wanted to leave.
Yeah.
I had to leave.
I know. I'm just kidding.
You really wanted to, though.
Why not start at, like, 2 o'clock their time?
That's the thing. My biggest complaint has always been that so many games kick at noon, but there's no staggered kickoff. Like, why not have a noon, a 12:30, 1 o'clock, etc. So when one goes to halftime, you can go right over
to
one that's in the second quarter.
Well, they're not trying to juggle between game endings.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe not noon. Maybe, like Josh said, 2 p.m. Okay. So when one is just heading into halftime, sweet. We roll over to Oregon Stanford.
Right.
Sweet. Okay.
Yeah. That was my point. I was like,
Because they
don't have to be at a certain time, but if you stagger it in between the games that are already going, I think that makes perfect sense, because you're capturing the audience that's like, okay, well, I don't want to watch the 10th fucking beer commercial. I want to watch more football.
Right.
So that, to me, makes sense. And then you can still have your primetime game for Pac-12 after dark, so you have a big marquee matchup.
Right.
It's still at the end, so you have a nice nightcap.
It's
that
just great
when
it's 11:30 at night and you switch back and forth between the Pac-12 after dark game and, like, Fresno State versus Nevada or something. Like, it's just such a great way to end the night. I think a lot of people's complaints with this idea was that it's a blatant money grab by the Pac-12 to get, as everything is in college football, but, like, just own up to it and say we want to get the Pac-12.
We want to capture a bigger audience.
Exactly.
I still think it's dumb.
But I still think they're going to be able to beat the Big 12 or the Big 10 and ACC audiences that kick off at noon consistently.
No, they won't. But I
understand the thought process.
I think this is just a move to figure out what works best, because nothing really in his first year of inception works for that well, right?
Yep.
Exactly. Fair so point. I think it's just something to try, and yes, they're going to see the metrics. Say we can't compete at noon,
mm-hmm.
but maybe we can compete at 1:30.
Right.
One.
It's just
30.
If they're going to do it, start with one game each week. Don't throw a whole slate of games.
It's like the NFL in London type thing. Just do one. Just dip your toe in the water. But at the same
time. Or like baseball in Mexico.
Right. From a player development perspective, that's got to be a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
You're up. I don't know what the game day schedule looks like for most teams, but they're probably waking up 3 a.m. to get the game.
You think that hurts recruiting?
Probably. Yeah.
What, getting up at 3 a.m.?
Where
did I lose this train?
Because
are you talking about the London game, or are you talking
about Pac-12?
Yeah.
Talking Pac-12 if they're preparing for a 9 a.m. game.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's early.
It's early, but. So what? You wake up an hour earlier because your wake up call is probably 5 a.m. anyway to go through morning walk. Like,
but if
you're
playing the Pac-12 after dark game,
they're still not sleeping in. Bill,
they're 18 years old, Keith. They love to sleep.
You're not sleeping in. You're getting up at 6 or 7. You're going over film. You're eating breakfast. Like, you're preparing for the game already early. I don't think that's that far of a stretch.
We'll let Keith coach the first 9 a.m. kickoff game then.
Love it. Sign me up. I got some great offensive ideas. Defense could use a little help with, but.
Speaking of dumb.
Welcome to the Big 12.
It's good to.
All right, Josh is diving into this segue. Oh, Tim Tebow announced his prediction for the college football playoff, four teams.
Wait, sorry, was this Tim Tebow the football player or Tim Tebow the baseball player?
So that's a good question.
Tim Tebow the baseball player, once you hear the four he chooses.
That's okay. Probably a good way to look at it.
Okay.
Alabama.
Which, okay.
Naturally.
Georgia.
Okay.
I can see that. There's an argument there.
Penn State. And TCU.
Lost. Doesn't matter. Fourth team doesn't matter if you have Penn State in there.
So he's completely neglecting Clemson, who's mm-hmm. won two of the
Which
last three national
insane.
Titles.
Insane.
Yep.
And Oklahoma, who, as far as I'm concerned,
is
pretty much
out.
For should have like first right of refusal, and by that I mean they're in it until they're proven that they're not. They shouldn't be in it.
Right.
Basically.
You're saying first team out.
Yeah.
TCU isn't even like top two team in their conference.
No.
Got Oklahoma and Texas, like just the first two that come to mind right there.
Right.
It's really sad when you see people who are just making headlines to remain relevant. Because any honest football analysis.
September call up. It's happening.
Any honest football analysis would show that's completely dumb. But to remain relevant, this is his,
it's all to get clicks.
Kneeling. This is his kneeling moment.
Right.
And you're like, this is dumb. Like, you're a baseball player now. Concentrate on baseball things and maybe you'd actually hit something.
That's a good point, too. There are odds out for who will be the starting quarterback at Rutgers this
Ooh.
Year, which is just hilarious to me. McLean Carter, the Texas Tech transfer, is sitting at 5-6 odds. I've honestly never seen that money line before.
Six odds.
Last year's starter, Arthur Sikowski. I think it's supposed to be Arthur, but there's no H. Like he's some Eastern European fella.
That's ancient English.
Can we go over his stats again?
Well, you're an Englishman.
Arthur Sikowski?
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
He threw for 1,158 yards, four touchdowns, and 18 interceptions.
Wonderful. His odds are 3-2. Not to keep piling on here, but I went through his fantasy season last year. He totaled, not averaged, totaled 36 points. That's what Derek King averaged in a game.
Wait.
He totaled 36 points.
Total points?
Yeah. And then Cole Snyder is sitting at 3-1 odds. Let me see if I can find my little notes here on Arthur Sikowski here.
Damn, you pulled that book up already.
Can you guys vamp for a little bit here?
Rutgers is
how low is the program? Like, how low is a program in your mind if they're making odds of who's gonna be your next quarterback?
Rutgers has already hit that low.
Yeah, I know, but like, think of it as just being a fan of the Scarlets. Like,
I can't imagine what it'd be like to be a Rutgers fan.
Got it.
I cannot imagine.
His season total was 36.45. This is based on our league's scoring pattern. His best game, oddly enough, was against Wisconsin,
okay.
who probably has one of the best defenses he's faced other than Ohio State. 20 for 39, 261 yards, one touchdown, zero picks. And his worst game was, against Maryland. 2 for 16 for 8 yards and 4 interceptions.
At a certain point, you just take the ball out of his hands and be like, sit down. Son.
He was benched.
Yes,
and then he did not play the final game of the season against Michigan State, which is probably smart considering Michigan State would have sacked him probably 10 times. In his defense, that's 36 points without a full game. But not great.
Not great. So why even take odds at that point? It's going to be the Texas Tech transfer.
I think so.
Anything to make money. So I put my money on it. Texas Tech transfer.
But technically, you're losing money because that money line is
negative.
Right. But, hey, I'm not a better. We'll do more betting stuff closer to the season, and I never do well. But actually, I never put real money down because I know I never do well. And
this year, Bill's going to put down real money, though, and we're not telling his wife.
Surprise. It's all right. She thinks Ross is more entertaining on this show than I am anyway, so...
Bobby Ross.
I'll gamble away our savings. I don't even care. Alabama and Wisconsin have announced a home-and-home in the 2024 and 2025 seasons. Cool.
Yeah.
I guess.
Makes sense.
I think Alabama will still be Alabama. Wisconsin will still probably be running the ball
between
the tackles.
A lot of red.
A lot of red.
you asked a question on our Twitter.
I did. I posed the poll of who will be the coach at Alabama when they play this game in 2024. I had an option of Nick Saban, Dabo, Urban Meyer, or other. Saban actually won the overwhelming majority of the vote. He had 54%.
Of the four votes that we had?
No. We had 26 votes. Not to brag.
I voted for Dabo.
Really?
I don't think it's Sammy Dabo.
Okay. Well, Dabo
it's
has
Urban Meyer.
Dabo has a specific non-compete in his contract with Clemson right now, or between Clemson and Alabama right now. Say what you will. And I think Urban's going to be the coach at USC in 2024.
Yeah.
I think it's Alabama because I don't think he'd turn that down.
He wouldn't turn USC down either. Urban's going to be at Alabama, USC, or Notre Dame in the next 5 years.
You want a lemon bet that?
5 year lemon bet?
Yeah. It's got to be bigger than just a lemon bet then.
A whole lemon, not a slice.
A whole lemon? Oh, geez. We'll table that discussion.
Put your money where your mouth is, Bill.
I think he's coaching the next 2 years.
Where at?
I think it's going to be at USC.
I think so.
Honestly.
Too.
I just don't know if you'd want to take that job because it's the allure, right? Like, yes, it's USC, it's Southern California, it's going to be great, but you're perennially going to be overrated. People are going to think you're a lot better than you are, and your talent pool that you're pulling from is not that great.
What? He's pulling from LA. It's one of the best talent pools there is.
Right, but they always seem to misrecruit LA for whatever reason.
I don't think he'll have any trouble recruiting anywhere in the country.
Because I think it's that he's Urban Meyer and that it's...
And that they know that they get free stuff from him, like a car and whores. And
I think, Keith, come on. the last coaches you've had there were Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian, and now Clay Helton. Like, not exactly the most stability when it comes to head coaches.
When was the last time they had a good coaching staff?
So probably Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll?
Probably.
Let me pull up real quick.
Yeah,
you also mentioned the fact that he's going to be on Fox. He's going to be sitting next to Matt Leinart, sitting next to Reggie Bush.
Yep.
Chirping in his ear. USC.
Coach O was there in an interim capacity. He went 6-2. But yeah, it was Pete Carroll's last year. It was 2009. He went 9-4. That was probably the last year they had, I should say, a stable coach.
Yeah.
But I mean, even Pete Carroll, we obviously know what the recruiting violations and everything were. So say what you will want about that. But I think it's going to be Urban.
Okay.
All right. Last but not least, Florida State had a bit of a graphic snafu the other day. So
I feel so bad for that intern.
They tweeted saying this many days until Knowles football. Okay. That's already confusing. And there's a photo of their stadium with the number 4, and right next to it was a player wearing the 15 jersey. So it made it look like 154 days until Knowles football. Apparently, it was supposed to be 4 days until training camp starts. Makes sense, but at the same time, why would you put the player right next to the 4?
Yeah.
And
or if you'd grown up with a player, should have been number 4.
Right, like Dalvin Cook, who was number 4 and was very good at Florida State for years and is now doing well in the NFL. Doesn't make sense. However, this is not as bad as what they did for Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, this is so bad.
For those that did not see that, Willie Taggart's catchphrase at Florida State is "Do something."
Yeah, Google
so
it.
So Florida State tweeted out the graphic of "Do something" with Martin Luther King and a crudely photoshopped Florida State glove on his hand into him doing the tomahawk chop. So that was great. Florida State deleted that one in a hot instant, and then 7 months later, did this little guy.
Yeah.
Which this isn't, like, offensive in any way. It's just kind of foolish.
Just dumb.
Yeah, this is – but that Martin Luther King one, I would say, is up there with Silence the White Noise.
That was also pretty bad.
Like, I don't get how somebody's not behind – like, somebody – there's not an approval process where somebody's like, hey
– wait a minute.
Maybe don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just – it's –
that's Florida State.
It's rough. Like some grad assistant got chewed out and probably fired from that.
I would think
so. Did
they
take it down?
I don't know. I haven't been back to their profile to check.
Was that on Instagram?
Twitter? Yeah. Now that our big Twitterer, Josh, is going to double check for us.
Call him a Twitterer?
Twitter. Yeah.
I don't follow Florida State football. I just follow Kansas football, though.
I don't follow Florida State football either, but yesterday it just went – it went mini-viral. It went viral within the college football community. So everybody was
– Florida State Twitter.
Or tinfoil hat. Florida State did that on purpose to get clicks. It's all about the engagement.
I don't know if they want to. When you're at a certain level, people already hate you enough. Like, don't give more people a reason to be like, you know what? I was vacillating between Florida State, Miami, and
Florida State doesn't have a reputation of breeding the smartest of people already. It just doesn't help. Yeah, I don't even see it on here anymore.
They officially deleted it because we quote tweeted it from our account, and it says the tweet is unavailable. So.
Yeah.
After Florida State missed a bowl game for the first time in 30-plus years, don't think you want to be going the route of, hey, let's post something goofy to get engagements, but it turns out they're just getting roasted. So,
I just – that whole philosophy behind engagement stuff is pretty dumb to me. Like
– we talked about earlier with Tebow and his four.
Yeah.
His college football playoff.
It's just – it doesn't make sense, and you there's more ways to screw it up than to get it right.
Yep. Agreed.
And – You have to be more genuine. Like it's kind of like it's a similar thing that's going through journalism right now, where you know you have to get clicks. You have to post on Twitter X amount of times a day. Post on Instagram X amount of times a day. Just do your job and do it well. Vet it, and more people are going to respond to that than this guy tweets out a bunch of useless shit. You know,
right? Because at a certain point, you get a reputation for being just the outlandish predictor, and then
skip.
Yeah.
Bayless.
Oh, ESPN.
Huh.
All right.
Stephen A. Smith.
Ooh.
Huh.
All right. I'm cutting this. Okay. Just cutting this short. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to predict week by week where we think College Game Day is going to go each week this season.
Okay.
And then if schedule permits. We might be having UConn Feve on today as well.
For the first time.
Ooh,
all right.
UConn Feve. All right. So, predictions for College Game Day. We're going to go week by week. And, Bill, I want you to face off against Josh.
Before we start, I'd like to say that I would love to see College Game Day go to Hawaii this year.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because they're 6 hours behind us. So, there it would start 3 a.m. local time. I think that would be
not
great.
Only that. Herb Street usually he'll do game day and then fly to sometimes a different location if the primetime game.
He would have to do that game.
Yeah.
There's no way.
That would be amazing. So he does game day at 3 a.m. local time and then flies to like Georgia or like Miami or something. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine him on
That'd be great.
That'd be insane.
Love it.
Love that.
All right. So
a note for me.
Okay.
I didn't include I don't want to say a goofy pick, but like last year when game day just went to New York City because there weren't that really big games.
No.
And I think a couple years ago, didn't they go to North Dakota State too?
They did.
Yeah.
So I didn't.
Went to Western Michigan.
I didn't predict any of those. If there is a group of five team or that explodes, so be it. But I just kind of went week by week.
I have a group of five on here.
Oh. Bless you. I went week by week and just predicted kind of the best big game of the week.
Yeah,
so.
That's, I think, how we should do it. So, right. Did both of you do week zero?
Miami, Florida?
Yeah. I don't think they're going to go to Arizona, Miami, or Arizona, Hawaii, Keith.
Are you positive? Because Josh just said he would love to see it.
I would love to see it.
And if there any week they do it, it would be that week. But I predicted Florida versus Miami.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance. My prediction was Florida, Miami.
I did predict that game.
In Orlando.
I don't think they'll go anywhere, but I'll, Florida, Miami.
Do we even know if they are going to do College Game Day for that one?
Probably not.
Maybe a truncated version?
Yeah.
Like a kickoff show?
There's just not enough to talk about.
Oh, there's plenty to talk about.
There's always something to talk about, Josh.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Let's go.
It's going to be 2.5 hours of Clemson versus Alabama, part five, and then a half hour of other college football.
All right. So then week one.
It's already announced. It's Auburn versus Oregon in Dallas.
Both your picks?
That was
my
pick.
Auburn, cool. Oregon.
Week two.
Just
two different games I could have gone here. I went with A&M and Clemson.
Damn it, so did I.
Okay, what was your other game?
LSU, Texas.
Yep, that was the other one I had too.
Okay, so let's hear the LSU, Texas argument from Bill.
Well, can I?
We both did A&M, Clemson.
Yeah.
No, I know, but I want to hear the argument.
Oh,
you said I can see both, so I want Bill to argue for the other game, and I want you to defend it.
I can't argue for the game I didn't pick. I had to reason my way into picking A&M versus Clemson.
Well, give me your reasons. Why would it be the other one?
Why would it be LSU, Texas?
Yeah.
Because Texas, as far as I can see on their schedule, doesn't host a true home game on their schedule that would be game day worthy. And just early non-conference opponents are always sexy.
Okay.
Last year's game with A&M Clemson was great. Clemson. Yeah. A&M's going to be very good this year, year two.
And other than Florida State, Clemson doesn't really have a tough mm-hmm. home game.
Wow, okay.
So that's why I picked this one.
They got to make their trip to Clemson.
You're not going to skip Clemson in 2019.
Right.
But you're also not going to go when they're playing Louisville.
Right.
So A&M is their best home game. Mm-hmm. So, of course, it's going to be that one.
Okay.
Although South Carolina in early September, it's a hard pass for me.
All right. So then that was week
That was week two.
So we're going to go to week three.
Yep.
So Bill, you go first this time.
I had Penn State versus Pitt at Penn State.
Okay.
Same thing, kind of what I said before. Penn State's got some good home games, but the one versus Pitt's always fun. There's not really not that much going on that week either.
Well, that's a good pick, Bill, but it's wrong. The answer is Stanford and Central Florida.
Ooh.
They're going to go down to Orlando.
Okay.
That's going to be my non-Power 5 pick. Just because of all the Central Florida love right now, the fact that they're 2017 national champions. Stanford is big-time school. They're going to probably both be 2-0 going in this game.
I also had Washington State versus Houston as an option on this list because that one would be – it's technically a neutral site game in Houston, which doesn't make a lot
so
of sense.
Stupid.
So you
that
can still have
sense.
You can still have game day on Houston's campus because the game is at NRG Stadium where the Texans play. So
right.
It's like not – wouldn't make that much of a difference. But
okay.
That was another option I had.
Okay. Solid picks.
Also, I apologize for the constant flipping of my notebook, but I wrote it over across two pages. So.
I think we've come to expect that. If you guys didn't notice, we are actually very old school. We write a lot of stuff down
on my computer.
I like the ink between my fingers.
All right. Week four.
I think this one's easy.
Notre Dame and Georgia. Yep.
Any other interesting things about week four there where it could be?
There's a lot of good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Florida versus Tennessee. That's always a good rivalry the third weekend in September. But it
Tennessee?
Just hasn't been close. Auburn A&M, but I actually...
Auburn, I don't expect from Auburn.
I have Auburn on here quite a bit. So I don't think ESPN's going to give them another appearance. And then Oregon versus Stanford would also be really good.
Depends on how Stanford's doing at that point. Because if they lose
yeah,
it,
Central Florida.
Right.
Week four. Okay. Week five.
I went my first Big Ten game here. I went Ohio State, Nebraska. Going down to Lincoln for I don't know when the last time they were there. But
I had the same one.
What are your predictions going into that?
I think both will be undefeated.
I think
they're
both going in.
That's the main reason why I picked it.
Yeah.
I think the Scott Frost buzz is gonna be palpable at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the potential Big Ten title game implication. But Nebraska opens with South Alabama, Colorado, Northern Illinois, and Illinois. So they
should be 4-0.
Should be easy 4-0. Ohio State's got FAU, Cincinnati, Indiana, and Miami of Ohio. So both should be a pretty comfortable 4-0 moving into that one. I did kind of struggle with this one a bit, though. I just think, yeah, because like Josh said, I don't know the last time game day's been at Nebraska.
Right.
So other good games that week are Virginia and Notre Dame. Might depend on how good Virginia is up to that point.
Well, we know Virginia's good, but
I don't think they'll do Notre Dame, even though they're on the road. I don't think they'll do Notre Dame 2 weeks in a row.
Right. Alabama, Ole Miss, Ole Miss is just not great, unfortunately.
I bet that's the CBS primetime game.
Yep. The civil conflict, UConn, Central Florida. Hard to miss that one. And USC, Washington. Was another option, but I just don't think USC opens with a brutal first
right.
4 weeks. They have Fresno State, Stanford, BYU, and Utah. So I could see them being 1-3 going into that game, and they're not going to be on game day if they're 1-3 going into that game.
No.
All right. So my birthday weekend, the 6th week.
October 5th, I have Auburn in Florida.
So do I.
All right.
I don't have all the games in front of me, but I don't think there's a whole lot of.
A couple, a handful of good ones. There weren't any that are like blow
stand
you away.
Out.
Yeah, I think Auburn, Florida is going to be the best one. Auburn could be undefeated at this point in the season. They have versus Oregon, Tulane, Kent State, and at Texas A&M and Mississippi State. So if they can beat Texas A&M on the road,
Auburn will not be undefeated going into that game.
Could be, though.
Could be.
Stanford, Washington is another good one if Stanford starts hot.
Mm-hmm.
UCF versus Cincinnati. That's where they went last year.
You guys really like UCF and Stanford, don't you?
ESPN loves UCF.
Oh, yeah.
Florida, Auburn, Iowa, Michigan, Nebraska, Northwestern, if Northwestern can topple Stanford to start the season, and Michigan State, Ohio State.
That would depend on how good Michigan State's doing at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Right. A lot of it would depend, but at the same time, if
they
game day
Ohio
also
State, Nebraska,
right,
they're not going
right
to Michigan State, Ohio State.
Right.
Okay.
Which is tricky.
So, moving on then. Week
moving
7.
On.
Red River.
No.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Because Fox game day will be there.
Oh, because Fox has Red River.
Yes.
Oh.
Alabama A&M.
Damn it, Josh. That was
smart. I thought that went through.
I did not.
Damn.
Oh,
snap. He outworked you on that one.
Yeah, he did.
He hustled for it.
Well, another one I thought could be was Florida versus LSU.
Mm-hmm.
But Florida will have been on the week before, and LSU will be on when they play Bama. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
Well, that's my hats off to Josh on that one. That was really done. Really well done.
So we are on week 8.
Yep.
October 19, Oregon, Washington.
I had the same one. Oregon could be undefeated, at least 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
Washington will be undefeated, and this is on the cusp of the first college football rankings being announced. So the Pac-12 in the playoff narrative will be in full force at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to make one trip to the Pac-12.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Do I have it? No, that's my first Pac-12.
The token out west trip.
Okay. Week 9.
I think we got the same one for this one.
Turn the page again. Notre Dame at Michigan.
Notre Dame at Michigan.
Yep. I think at this point, Notre Dame will be pushing to keep their playoff hopes alive.
Yep.
Michigan should be in the playoff contention.
At this point.
Could be Auburn, LSU. Maybe.
I just think
Auburn will probably suffer two losses at that point, which is unfortunate. But
yeah. It is. They were at Notre Dame last year for this game, I think. If both teams have a worse one loss, they're.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Again.
I also had OSU versus Wisconsin as another option,
mm-hmm,
if Wisconsin is looking good,
good
going in.
Hmm. All right.
As we got later in the season, it got really difficult for me because I had to project where the team's record would be and how many times they've already been on or like tangentially related to game day.
Yeah, that was
the hard part. Like week 11 through 14, I have my chicken scratch handwriting because I crossed out and changed my decision so many times.
Yeah, there's going to be some different ones.
Well, then let's move right along to week 10.
November 2nd.
Yep.
Who'd you have?
I had Florida, Georgia.
I had Florida and Georgia.
The world's largest outdoor cocktail party.
In Jacksonville.
Yep. Another neutral site one. Which, I'm not sure how game day feels about going to neutral site ones. But at this
I
point.
I love going to neutral site ones.
Florida and Georgia could both be undefeated.
Actually, this same week, if I could throw one in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An interesting one. If both teams are rolling, Houston, UCF.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That could be
this could be the power or the group of five plug-in.
Could be. Yeah.
Yep.
Because they've done a lot. We're predicting that they'll have been at the SEC quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Could be, especially with the playoff rankings coming out in November.
Yeah,
because it'd be like, could this be the year a G5 gets in?
Right, because that's a UCF home
spoiler
game against Houston.
No.
All right, week 11.
This one is pretty easy. If both teams are where they should be, LSU and Alabama. Yep. ESPN's not going to miss out on an LSU-Alabama matchup.
Absolutely not. And it's at Alabama. Yeah. So this is, you know.
As long as they're relevant, they're there.
Yeah, this is about as a slam, much as a slam dunk as I can get. And who doesn't love a Tom Rinaldi piece on Coach O?
All right, week 12.
I had Stanford at Washington State.
Okay. At Texas, Iowa State.
Ooh.
Because I'm high on Iowa State, and I have 11 bet on them. So if they're where they should be, where they could be, game day might take a little trip down to, was it Ames, Iowa? Mm-hmm.
But would Texas be where they would need to be to have
that college? I've
said
a lot of times that Texas isn't back.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of
it's two sides of the coin there, because you have 11 bet on one side, and the fact that you don't think Texas is back on the other.
I don't think Texas is back as far as playoffs, like going to the playoffs and stuff like that goes.
Uh-huh.
I think they could have.
Off the top of your head right now, where do you think the record's going to be by the end, at the end of the year?
At the end of the year?
Uh-huh.
Let's go through Texas' schedule.
I did a preliminary one. I have Texas at one loss going into this potential Iowa State game. I have them 10-2 on the year.
You have to lose to LSU and at Iowa State.
Iowa State.
I'm going to have to lose Oklahoma 9-3.
Iowa State's always good for one huge upset.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll say 9-3.
So that actually could be. If Iowa State's where Josh needs them to be, then yeah.
Because Iowa State, I don't know the last time they were on game day either.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So my thought was on Stanford, Washington State, was they had a heck of a time at Washington State last year. Just game day in Pullman is a different beast.
Don't say that to Zach.
I won't. They're not. My first guess was also Wisconsin at Nebraska, but they're not going to go to Nebraska twice. Nebraska being like the featured game is one thing, but not in Lincoln twice.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So I think if ESPN goes to Nebraska, it will be for the Ohio State game, not for the Wisconsin game.
But didn't they? Wasn't last year like the first time they've been back to Pullman for like
in a long time?
So would they go back to back years, especially if Washington State's going to probably be middling?
See, I don't think they'll be middling. But I also think
if they're in contention for the Pac-12, I think there's a chance that they go back.
I think if they can pump the narrative of, is this the year Washington State can beat Washington, they'll definitely be back. Especially if at this point in the year, Stanford is the last thing standing in their way to prove it in the Apple Cup.
Okay.
That's my thought process.
All right.
2 weeks left.
Yep, so we're into week 13.
Season hasn't even started yet, and we're talking week 13. I'm already sad that college football's going to be over.
I went Penn State, Ohio State.
So did I. I think at this point in the year, Ohio State's emerging as the fourth playoff team.
Yeah.
Penn State always plays them close. Never wins, but always plays them close.
Hey, if you're Tim Tebow, this is a huge game.
That is true. That is true.
Anything else of note there that week?
Other ones, A&M Georgia. That's always a good one.
That could be a pretty interesting game.
And UCLA at USC, because that's a great rivalry. They're
UCLA's
both going to be.
Kind of butt.
Yeah, I think they're not. I think this is the year before the year
for
UCLA.
A spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. A&M Georgia might be.
That might be,
the play.
If they don't have to go to Georgia earlier in the year. With Notre Dame.
Right.
Or if Ohio State is somehow at two losses.
Yeah.
Which I don't foresee happening, but.
No.
Very possible.
I think that would be the only scenario I'd say where they wouldn't feature that game.
Right.
So then let's go right on to the final week.
Last week.
Iron Bowl.
Bedlam.
I think we talked about this
earlier.
Give me an argument for both.
I want to hear your Bedlam argument first. I'm trying to connect with Thief real quick.
It's exciting. It's different. Oklahoma's going to be playoff contender. I don't think Oklahoma State will be in contention for a Big 12 championship, but they might be around the 9-3 mark at the end of the year, 8-4. It's rivalry week, so it's always tough to pick where they'll be.
Remember that commercial from a few years ago when they just had nobody able to pronounce rivalry week? That was so funny. Rivalry week. Do you remember that?
No.
That was great. It sounded like Lee Corso just put a bunch of peanut butter in his mouth. He was trying to pronounce rivalry week.
Or like me trying to speak normally.
Or any of us for that matter.
Yeah.
I would love it if they went to Bedlam.
Where is it at this year? Is it Oklahoma or Oklahoma State?
It is.
Okay, State.
It's at Oklahoma. It's in Norman.
Well, yeah, they haven't gone to Norman.
That's true. That would be the one to do it if they haven't gone.
But the Iron Bowl is a pretty – I think the reason I didn't choose Iron Bowl is I don't think Auburn's going to be that great this year.
Right. That's where I struggle with this one too, because I think Auburn is legitimate top 10 talented team, but they're going to be sitting at like 8-3 when this game comes to town, which is going to suck. My other thought was Auburn has also been on game day a lot, but both in one is a neutral site game and one is a visiting team. So they haven't been in Auburn yet as the actual host. The other tricky thing is this will probably be the primetime game on CBS, so ESPN won't have the rights to it. So they might not go there if they're not going to have the rights to it. But they also won't have the rights to Bedlam either.
It's a Fox game, isn't it?
Right.
Fox will probably be there.
But it's rivalry week. They could go anywhere and it wouldn't be bad, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Beyond those two, where do you guys think?
Michigan, Ohio State, but they won't go Michigan twice.
Right.
Right. A&M at LSU could be a good one.
It was a great one last year.
Oh, hell of a game last year. Florida State versus Florida. A lot of that depends on how Florida does.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't like that.
Maybe.
I don't like
Hopefully it's not a matchup of the graphics department. and then a dark horse one that I had, Virginia Tech at Virginia.
That could be.
Actually,
honestly,
I had a choice, I think that would be where they're going to go.
That one last year was one of the games of the year.
Oh, yeah.
To be completely honest. And if we're talking about what rights has, who has what. Here's the other tricky thing. VT at Virginia was also a Friday game last year because this is also Thanksgiving weekend. So if they play on a Friday and College Game Day is obviously on a Saturday, that could throw a wrench in the works too. So that one's a tricky one, but I'm sticking with the Iron Bowl.
Okay.
All right. Well.
Boom. And then Army-Navy. Two weeks after that.
Yeah.
Because it's fun to watch everybody in the snow and wear their little earmuffs.
All right. Maybe.
Well, I like that. Let's take a quick break here, see if we can't get UConn Thieve on the phone.
Thieve's ready.
Oh, he's ready.
We're going to hear about his UConn Huskies. All right.
All right.
We are very excited to announce a special guest to our show. We have UConn Thieve. Friend of the program and a remote friend of ours as well, living down in North Carolina. So thanks for joining us, Thieve. How you doing?
Hi, Ryan.
Good. It's good to be here. It's good to see you talk to you guys.
We won't consider Ross a guest. He's more of a fourth host. So, Thieve, you're officially the first guest in Preferred Talk-On's history.
Honored.
Well, we wanted to save it just for you. You know, we wanted it to be special.
Oh, right.
Not Matt Smith.
Not Sparty Matt. We have not had him on just yet. Soon though.
Can't wait.
It'll happen at one point. So to give the listeners a little bit of a background, you were primarily an NFL fan before you knew us, and I like to think that we raised you into being a good college fan. You were in our college fantasy league last year. Did pretty well with knowing very. Very few things about college football, to be completely honest. If you share for the listeners your path as an NFL fan and how you grew into a college fan and what you like about the college game compared to the NFL.
Yeah, so for me, I started off as obviously an NFL fan. I was a big – I'm a Patriots fan. I know we suck. I get it. You don't have to tell me. So I'm mainly an NFL fan. And growing up in Connecticut, you don't really have much around. When it comes to like college football, I mean, you have maybe Boston College. I mean, you have UConn, not really. And then you have there's not much around that's like that good. So for me, it was just NFL. Cause obviously the Giants, Jets, somewhat Steelers and Patriots, stuff like that. And so you have all those teams. And so then I started watching a little bit of UConn football as a kid, but then didn't really get too much into it. It just didn't really latch on to me. And then,
wait, you didn't latch on to UConn football? Weird.
I know, right? What are the odds of a team like that? You know, watching Dan Orlovsky live, who would have thought?
Dan Orlovsky live.
But, and Donald Brown, of course. But, when you have to watch a team like UConn, you don't really latch on to college football. So, for me, it took until, obviously, I came to Lansing, Michigan with you guys to really get into college football, to have somebody else to really talk about it with when it comes to college football. Because I had you guys who were all obviously being in, obviously with Michigan, Michigan State, and all the teams around the area. I mean, it's huge. I mean, the NFL takes a backseat there. So that was a surprise for me. And getting to obviously know you guys and getting to know a lot about Michigan, Michigan State, just knowing about how those programs work and how that works sort of expanded my knowledge. And then from there, I started to watch college football with you guys. And then when it came to, we filled out that sheet that we always print out and has every single game.
The mega
that was sort of fun thing to really get into it and really actually start watching games like Maxion and stuff like that. And even on some of the bigger games and even watching my own time too, which really got me to really pay attention to it.
I was going
to
say, you know you're a big college football fan when you find yourself watching midweek Maxion.
Absolutely.
After no college football.
Well, I mean, besides the quality, it's, you know. It's
exactly, yeah. It was for us, like, growing up in the early 2000s, we had the Lions as the NFL team around here. Some people were fans of the Bears, but, like,
I mean,
that's
I grew
why.
Up in the 90s, Bill, but, you know.
Yeah, well, Keith's old.
Well, either way, the Lions.
Yeah.
The 90s are the Lions now.
At least you had Barry Sanders to watch, but, like, it was college football or bust because the college football here was good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we obviously – I grew up addicted to college football and am now getting much more into the NFL, much of, in part due to you, Feeve. But at the same time, college football has always been king for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, talk to us a little bit about UConn.
So, as we all know, UConn had the worst defense of the 21st century last year.
Correct.
Like just bottom, the worst. It was so bad, and partially it was because we brought Randy Edsall back, which I think is actually a good thing. Because I watched Randy Edsall coach back when I was 10 or 12, whatever old I was. And Randy Edsall, he helped that UConn program grow a lot. And so when they brought him back, I thought, you know, maybe they'll do better. And obviously they did not. But I think he also didn't have his team there. So I think maybe this year they might get like 3 wins.
Whoa.
I know, right? Huge improvement.
Are you willing to learn about that?
So I think because they had a dual threat quarterback. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but they had a dual threat quarterback and he's gone. So I think whoever they're going to bring in, which can only do better than what they did last year.
How do you recruit at UConn?
I mean, your football stadium's a half hour away from campus. That can't be easy.
Yeah,
the stadium I played in was so tiny. It was awful. It was just a terrible place to watch a game. I mean,
let's read the schedule. I want to hear where Feeve thinks these 3 wins are going to come from.
Feeve, if you don't mind, I want to go game by game. I'll say the opponent. I want off the cuff. I want you to say win or loss. Okay.
Got it. Let's do it.
Josh, can you keep track of the wins and losses for me? Wagner.
They'll win that one.
Yeah, baby.
Big win versus Wagner.
Can you even name Wagner's mascot?
It's a bird of some sort, right?
They're the Seahawks. Very good.
There
it is. Illinois.
You lost completely. Not a chance. That's a 30-point loss at least.
Not even a chance.
To Illinois?
Against Illinois?
No oh, man. Staying in the Big Ten at Indiana.
No chance.
Wow. Wait, hang on. Do you think you're going to win your bye week?
Probably not. We'll find a way to lose a lot of it too at this point.
Someone's going to get hurt, trip in the shower, and you'll lose a big player for the year.
Someone's going to get hurt, Randy, and lose an eye. Who knows?
The Civil Conflict at UCF.
Oh, the best name of any game in college football, the Civil Conflict.
Easily.
No chance. That'll be maybe a 45-point loss.
Okay. Home game at South – or sorry, idiot. Home game, South Florida.
No, they'll lose. South Florida's actually relatively – okay, last year enough that they'll beat UConn by at least 20.
I feel so bad when the bar is now 3 touchdowns, not even win or loss. It's just
oh yeah.
Will they cover?
Yeah. At Tulane.
No, wait. Are we counting the Wagner one? Even though that's a
that counts.
Yeah, that counts. Yeah.
That counts as one of our wins. Oh, okay.
Yep, that's one of your wins. All
right.
At Tulane.
That would be close, and they'll lose by a field goal.
Ooh, okay.
So far, they're 1-5, Feeve.
Which is a win by UConn standards. So, I mean, it's like an asterisk.
It's true. Next is at UMass.
Nothing you missed. No, there's a Houston game in there.
Oh, correct. Sorry. Home versus Houston.
I'm going to lose that one, so it doesn't matter anyway. But, yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, no. Houston's good. Even without Ed Oliver, this will be fine.
I was skipping ahead to what could be a win is at UMass.
That's going to be a win. It's a big win.
All right, two wins. There's our second.
Win against UMass.
UConn versus UMass would be pretty awesome. Fun for a Civil War or a Revolutionary War reenactment.
It would be, but also a bad football game.
Also a very bad football game. Home versus Navy.
The defense couldn't even stop any quarterback, let alone the triple option Navy can run. There's no chance.
And Navy's not even supposed to be that good, so.
Yeah, I know.
All right. At Cincinnati.
No, it's an away game, so we're going to lose.
And Cincinnati's very good.
This year.
Bye week again. And then hosting East Carolina.
We're going to win that one.
There's the third win. All right.
There's the third win. That's a big home late season win. All right.
Yeah, which could propel them to, you know, to be like really good next year. Get four wins, maybe five.
Wow.
We're talking bowl eligible.
You're just talking crazy.
Ahead of myself, but.
Another BCS bowl bid against Oklahoma. And then capping the season at Temple. That game was wild.
That was a great game. Then is there one more game, right?
At Temple.
Yeah, no, we're going to lose.
Three wins, though. I can see it.
Mm-hmm. I can see two.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I can see it.
I'm with Keith. I can see two.
Yeah, I don't think you'll beat East Carolina.
Yeah, I agree.
Was it? I thought East Carolina was really bad last year, correct?
They were.
So was
but,
UConn.
Yeah.
No offense. No offense.
Yeah. East Carolina's got James Madison's head coach now. And they have freshman quarterback Holton Ahlers, who's kind of the young shiny piece that a lot of people are putting a lot of stock into. So I think if those two pieces work out, then East Carolina won't be as bad as last year. But I could see UConn winning that game depending on how long it takes Mike Houston to get his system set in East Carolina.
Yeah.
So 3-9 for UConn.
Yep.
Honestly, after last year, that's a huge improvement. Mm-hmm. Not to keep piling on here, but before we started the podcast, I looked through and looked at how many points UConn's defense allowed to opposing quarterbacks.
Oh, please enlighten me. I'd love to hear it.
If you were the quarterback against UConn every week, you would have been the second highest rated quarterback in fantasy that year. Second only to De'Aaron King of Houston.
Oh, no.
So not great, unfortunately, but you know that's
not great. Being very kind,
we missed Randy Edsel's media day today. His press conference was at 2:00.
Did he say anything of
could have all tuned in? I don't know. I because we missed it.
I honestly think that now that Randy Edsel has a chance to bring in some of his own players, we might actually have a chance to bring in some. I'm not saying they're going to be good by any means, obviously, considering last year. But I mean, Randy Edsel did do a good job when he was coaching UConn. I don't know the exact numbers in front of me, but I know he did pretty well. I mean, he brought in good players. I mean, a lot of them played in the NFL. So, I mean, I think he still has the potential to at least in maybe 3-4 years, bring them up to the point where they used to be. Maybe not that good, but or maybe around that area.
Yeah,
at least to the point where they're not the punching bag of college football.
Yeah, the absolute laughing stock. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear your optimism about UConn football. So we're going to shift into a little bit about fantasy now. Last year was your first year doing college fantasy football, like all of ours. What worked for you? What didn't work? What did you learn from that last year that you're going to use to your advantage this year?
So I'm pretty sure the one thing I took away from it the most was I'm pretty sure I had every time I had a tight end, I picked up any tight end, they got maybe 2 points maximum. Every time I picked up a tight end, I think I picked up the Arizona tight end at one point. I picked up a couple of people, and it just didn't work. None of the tight ends got me 8 points. So that was something that I focused too much on, where I didn't focus enough on, was getting a tight end. But I think I realized that having a quarterback is important, but it's really, really important to look at the matchups. That was something that is not as important in the NFL fantasy football, because some players can just take over a game regardless. But I think in college, when you can get a receiver who, like Emmanuel Hall was probably one of my star players. And he got me 20, 30 points a game. It was ridiculous. And so when you look at the matchups he had, even though he played some bad opponents and good opponents, he still did really well. But then you have a person like, I think it was Adrian Martinez from Nebraska. He had a couple really bad games. He only got like 4 or 5 points. So, and that was something that I didn't really know the matchups well enough to really guess who was going to do well. I sort of based off some of the projected points. And when I looked up how the team was doing against the pass or the run, I sort of went off of that. So yeah, when it comes to something like Big Fantasy, it's really usually matchups are important, but I think especially more in college than anything else, it's really important to have a good matchup.
Now, do you mean that based on the opposing talent or style that the player is facing?
Well, I don't think I know college football well enough to know the style of each team. I know we've been over it before in most teams, but sometimes it just didn't really stick with me as much as it used to. So for me, it was more just the talent they had and then just their stats overall. So how they do against the run, how they do against the pass, and just in general. So if you have a team that's playing Navy or whatever it may be, or playing a team that runs the ball almost all the time, then you're going to look at see how that defense does against the run, or you're going to see how that and stuff like that, to make sure that team can actually stop them. Because, I mean, yeah, if you have a team that maybe like Wisconsin, for example, that has a guy like Jonathan Taylor or whoever it may be, I mean, they're going to run the ball a lot more. So if the defense can't run through the run, you're going to start Jonathan Taylor. I mean, you would start him anyway, but for just as an example.
Right.
You're a big NFL guy, a fantasy NFL guy. How does it compare NFL-wise? Did you get with your first year in college?
There's a lot more players, obviously. There's a lot of players to look through, and you never know when a player's really going to break out. When in the NFL, you have a guy like DeAndre Hopkins where you're pretty much guaranteed 10 to 20 points a game at least. And when it comes to like college, I mean, again, a player may not play because of a slight injury. In the NFL, sometimes they start them even despite the injury. So it's a whole thing because there's so many different players on each team. When it comes to what their depth chart is like, it's insane. Where in the NFL, there's predominantly three receivers on each team that are going to get points. When in college, I feel like there's a lot more than that, and I feel like there's a lot more like different plays and the style of the play matters a lot more in college as well. So I think that's the biggest difference is just knowing all the styles, knowing how each player plays, and knowing that even on any given day, the fourth receiver can get three touchdowns.
Okay, so Phoebe, how long have you been playing fantasy football?
Oh, man, probably since 2012, 2013.
Okay, so then what surprised you most about drafting college-wise versus drafting for an NFL fantasy draft?
Again, there's just so many more players to look through. I mean, it's just there's so much to look at. And when it comes to, I mean, there's the whole thing about matchups. When it comes to you're looking at a team like Texas A&M versus a team like Ohio State, you look at their matchups and think, all right, well, which players can do better down the road? But at the same time, when it comes to the waivers and picking up players, there's a lot more of a leeway as to looking as to who you can pick up. So you can give a guy a shot who might be the backup running back at Georgia, but he might have a good matchup compared to somebody like the running back at Memphis, Henderson, I think his name was, where he sort of broke off towards the end of the year. But I don't know, there's so many more players. And that's the biggest thing for me is there's so many more people to look at, so many more matchups to look at. And It was tough. There was just a lot to look. I mean, again, I picked up at least four different tight ends during the year, and none of them did anything for me. But like there was a time where I picked up. I figured it was the Arizona tight end. He had 12 points the week before. The rest of the year, he got no points. So it's just like you just don't know when it comes to certain players. I mean, you have those players that are going to be like the best. They're going to get all those points, which are normally the top draft picks anyway. But then you have the players that might break out for three or four games in a row, and then that's about it.
And last year, we only did Power Five.
Yeah.
This year we're bringing it all into it. Yeah. So
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
A lot more research to do.
Another question for you, Phoebe, real quick. Do you agree with me and Keith that there's an asterisk over Bill's championship last year?
Yeah, this is hotly debated.
Phoebe, you were in the finals. All right. You can't say there needs to be an asterisk when you were in the finals with me.
Well, let him speak. Let's hear what he has to say.
So
you guys just fired me up real quick.
part of me wants to say that there should be, but at the same time, again, what happened, and he got to the finals during any means necessary, and there was no rule necessarily ruled against it.
Why would there be an asterisk?
Because we were playing with a bunch of out-of-town idiots in a dumb league with way too many people in it.
Shouldn't that make me all the more impressive for getting to the finals? Because we had such watered-down teams?
No.
Very watered down teams.
All right, you guys.
Josh, why do you think exactly there should be an asterisk next to Bill's name?
I disagree with Keith.
Well,
kind of what Keith said.
So here's what I say: having a watered down team means that if you didn't stay for the whole 7-hour draft that we had,
which I
and
did
you
not.
Got screwed. There was nothing on the waiver wire, whereas we're now adding actual talent this year.
Darn.
That's usually hidden in the G5.
Maybe you should have been around for the
so
draft.
So this, I was around for the
it was
draft.
Seven. It was legit.
It was
time
legitimately
to start.
Seven
it went
hours.
Till midnight, and it
yeah.
started out.
Didn't you just last week say you don't win the league on draft day?
Oh. No, huh. but in a league with 24 people in it.
There were 18.
It's there's 24, I'm pretty sure.
We had 20 roster spots.
This will be the real test
yeah.
this
think,
year with
yeah.
non-power five, with less teams, a lot more players.
Fewer roster spots.
Fewer roster spots.
Yes. I think this year is when it counts, because this is when true fantasy knowledge shows.
Anyway, Feef, I'll see you in the finals again with no asterisks.
Can't wait. I'm going to pick up at least 3 UConn players.
I hope you do. That would be amazing.
I'll do it. I might do it as like my last quarterback spot for a joke, just to see, just in case, you know.
Well, we had in my pro fantasy football league with a couple of friends. We always our last pick is always just a joke pick, and I picked Charlie Batch for like 3 straight years. So,
I've been Jeremy Shockey for at least 3 years in a row.
If you guys don't have any other questions, I have some quick rapid fire ones. First thing, you're as a graphic designer, I want your thoughts on the Florida State graphic that went viral a couple 2 days ago.
Oh boy. So that graphic was it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. Then you look at how many layers are actually into this thing about how bad it was. I'm gonna pull it up right now to make sure.
They deleted the tweet, but can you break it down a little bit for us?
So the tweet says it's this many days until Noah's football. It has a player wearing number 15 and then the number 4 next to it, which leaves it so open-ended. Is it 154? Is it 4? Is it 15 plus 4? 15 minus 4? The options are endless. And it's so bad. It's just so bad. It's not well done. It's just terrible. It's like some kid picked up Microsoft Paint for the first time, threw some stuff together, and that's what came up. And
you've seen my Microsoft Paint creations, all right? Let's cut them slack.
Yours is better than that.
Wow.
It's so bad. And then at the same time, 4 days until Noah's football, what does that mean? Like, the first game is in 4 days.
That's what I thought. I took it to mean days
so
until the first game.
Right.
And I was trying to figure out how 15 and 4 somehow made it, like 33 or whatever, however many days were left.
Could have put Dalvin Cook in there. He's number 4.
It's many
weeks. That's what we said. We talked about this a little before he came on. That's what we said too. Like, it didn't make a lot of sense.
But then they kept it up there for such a long time.
Yeah.
And I'd love to know who's like, yeah, put that through. It looks fine. Perfect. Looks great. Put it on Twitter. Looks awesome. Like, who thought that was? Why?
All right. I want to reel you in before we get too far. Who are your 4 in the playoff this year?
Alabama.
Hot take.
Georgia. Clemson, because, you know, I'm like that. And Michigan.
Oh,
Michigan.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Oh, Feef, what have you done? Oh, man. Well, okay.
I agree with 3 of those.
We'll let you guess which 3.
Yeah.
And then if you have the first pick in our fantasy football draft this year, who are you taking?
King out of Houston.
All right.
Consensus.
Yeah, it is. He's the slam dunk number 1.
Yeah.
All right, Feef. Thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate you talking about UConn, and I'm looking forward to checking back in with you at some point throughout the season to see how your team is doing.
I can't wait. It's going to be great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks,
yeah.
Bud.
Thank you.